Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Insurance Town. I'm the Mayor Heath Sheeran and the host of this podcast. Thank you so much for being here, hanging out with me and Amanda. I'm so excited. Smart Choice is my sponsor for this episode, and so I got to get into it. They are a network of over 10,000 independent agencies, more than 120 carriers. Their agency partners represent over $11 billion in written premium. Billion with a B. They are the fastest growing agency network for a reason. Their agency-friendly contract puts agency partners first. You can grow your book of business and increase your revenues and be able to put your clients first by partnering with Smart Choice. Go to smartchoiceagents.com to learn more. Also, my good friends over at Old School Marketing, taking a new school approach to an old school method of marketing, taking a whole new approach to direct mail marketing with a drip method that will keep your phone ringing all month long. Ladies and gentlemen, my good friends over at Canopy Connect are also proud to be sponsors of this show. They are your one-click solution to getting all those deck pages you need to quote your prospects. Go to usecanopy.com/Heath. Find out how you can get deck pages, loss runs, driver list, vehicle list, everything that you need with one click of a button, customized to your agency. Guys, I'm going to get out of the way so you can check out my conversation with my good friend, Amanda Dickey. Amanda Dickey, how are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you, Heath?
I am good. Truth be told, I just woke up. All my alarms did not go off. That didn't make sense. None of my alarms went off this morning. And so I woke up and the kids and I were like, holy crap. It was like that Home Alone moment. Yeah. We're like, oh crap, we missed it. So I'm kind of like a little brain fog this morning, but I'm good.
I hate it when that happens.
Yeah.
But I've been up since 3:45 probably.
So. Did you make your husband breakfast this morning?
Yep. You know me, I always make his breakfast and pack his lunch. 25 years almost. And
that's amazing. So what did you make him this morning?
So he's really into these little egg wrap things. That's awesome. Unfortunately, he only got a turkey sandwich for lunch, but
that's all right.
Better than nothing.
So Batesville, Arkansas is where you're from. And for the audience listening, Amanda and I go way back, like 20 plus years. Which is crazy. We're like brother, sister. Tell me, you know, tell the audience just for a minute, and then we'll take a walk down memory lane. Tell me a little bit about Batesville.
Yeah, I've lived in Batesville basically my entire life. So, you know, 44 years pretty much here in Batesville. My family's primarily from Batesville. My husband's from Batesville. All his family's from Batesville. Batesville is, for those of you who like trivia, Batesville is actually the oldest existing city in Arkansas. We have had three governors come from Arkansas, and they're actually buried over here. Yeah, so we just celebrated our 200th birthday, I guess you call it, in 2021. And another fun fact for those of you who like trivia, we were the runner-up to house the U of A, University of Arkansas.
Oh, wow.
Fayetteville beat us out. They were able to get a bond that we weren't able to get at the time. That was back in the early 1900s. And so at that time, U of A went to Fayetteville and the local people here started Arkansas College, what is now known as Lyon College.
So
that's how Lyon College or Arkansas College got started, was because the U of A, Fayetteville won out and they got U of A. So we started Arkansas College here. So anyway, there's just some fun facts this morning.
So Lyon College is kind of like the Miss Congeniality of
I guess so. It's a great school though. So
no, it is a great school.
We actually have two colleges. We have Lyon College and University of Arkansas Community College at Batesville. We call it the Alphabet School, UACCP.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Here locally, that's what the locals call it. But so we're big at heart. So
yeah, small but mighty. So tell me, let's take a walk down memory lane with you. Tell me, you know, a little bit about how you got to where you are today.
Oh, my goodness.
You have to tell us about birth. That just makes it creepy. Story? Yeah, don't make it creepy about birth. Just tell me just about how you got into insurance.
Okay, so how I got into insurance. Okay, so when I was going to college, and when my husband, I was working for a local bank, and as a teller, and was going to school to be an accountant for accounting. I wasn't real sure what I wanted to be, and was working at a bank, a local bank, as a teller. And one of my customers had an opening at an insurance office for the receptionist, and they thought I would be a good candidate for that. They thought I had good customer service skills and that kind of stuff. And I was like, I don't even know how to spell insurance. I've never even thought about insurance. I know you have to have it. It's required by law, and that's like my extent of insurance knowledge. And I thought, man, I don't know if I can do this. And they're like, oh yeah, just come on, you'll be great. So I did. I went to work for them and started as a receptionist, and I worked in that role for about a year and a half. And they had an opening for a commercial CSR, account manager. And they approached me about the job, and I was like, there again, I was like, oh man, I don't know. That's a lot. I don't know if I can handle that much. I don't. But anyway, so I told them, I was like, well, I'll try it for 90 days. And if it doesn't work out, you don't think I'm doing a good job, it's not going to hurt my feelings if you put me back to being the receptionist. Well, we'll just do that. So we agreed on that, and I took the job and never looked back. I was in commercial lines, or I've been in commercial lines. I'm going on my 25th year in insurance. So I've been in the commercial role for at least 23 years of that. But anyway, I've done every role since then in an agency that you can do other than own one myself. I've been a commercial manager, I've been a producer, I've done personal lines. I currently the what we call the location manager. For Acrisure, what was formerly the Block, Block MF Block out of Paragould, they bought an agency over here in Batesville, and about six, a little over 6 years ago, they asked me to come and run it for them. And so I've been running that office, and I, just kind of do whatever needs to be done. I help take care of all the account managers, whatever they need, training. I help with customers. I produce quite a bit. I also help quote quite a bit of commercial marketing type stuff. So you name it, toilet bowl cleaner, whatever needs to be done,
Yeah.
just handle
And
it.
so,
Usually I vacuum. I like to vacuum.
oh, you do? Is that like your
Yeah,
stress reliever?
it's my favorite office job is to
That's
vacuum.
hilarious.
Yeah.
Stacy loves to
It's
vacuum at the house. It's crazy to me. Like,
a stress reliever.
I think it is for her because I'm like, why did it take you an hour and a half to vacuum? And she's like, don't worry about it. I was like, okay.
It's so vacuuming for us is kind of like mowing the lawn for you guys. Like my husband loves to
Yes,
get on the
that
lawnmower
makes
with his
sense.
earbuds in and just mow and mow and mow. And he's like, it's just the greatest thing. Well, vacuuming is kind of the same way.
There you go. That's funny.
So Block became a part of Acrisure in 2017.
Okay.
So we've been affiliated with Acrisure for a while. We didn't brand over. Acrisure was kind of new, and now they're a worldwide. We're what they call a fintech company. We do a little bit of everything. We have different branches that do several different things all across the world. And we're like in 22 different countries. Last year in 2023, we joined what is called the South Platform. So currently, Acrisure is kind of breaking into different platforms across the US. And so Arkansas joined with Oklahoma, Texas, and Louisiana to form the South Platform. And there's like, I couldn't even tell you. I know it's over 400 employees. I don't know how many agencies
Yeah.
that is, but we all joined together.
Now, are the original owners at all still around or involved in Block or in Acrisure now?
Philip is still here. Philip works with us. He actually leads up the transportation department for Acrisure South. He is handling that whole department and is still in Paragould and still has a book of business and still helps facilitate that book of business. And yep, you can still call him and holler at him and even go see him in his office if you want
Well, that's the
to.
cool thing that I've heard about Acrisure is that they still keep the original owners involved and they want to
Yes.
help that transition. And I think it's really smart on Acrisure's part because, a lot of times when somebody comes in from the outside and buys an agency, the identity of the original agency is kind of gone, so when they keep them in,
Right. Yeah, I think so too. And since I've been here, my 6+ years, all I've heard is like, they want us to keep our contacts, keep our culture, and keep our our family all together and keep that culture going and keep our relationships going with our customers and our relationships with our companies. Is a lot of the companies that we work with, we're kind of merging those four states together, and that can be a lot. But, you know, I still want to have the connections with my marketing reps, with my underwriters, and the same, you know, with all the other agencies in the other states as well. So.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. And so I rarely hear of account managers involved in those local type of things like that. And so usually it's producers. I know you said you had a producer hat that you wore for a while and probably still do.
I have been in Rotary, I think about 14 years now. And I actually, at the time, the agency that I was working for, we didn't have anybody represented in the local club, in the Rotary Club. And so my dad was a Rotarian, and he really wanted to get me involved so that we could do it together. You know, that way we could, you know, we could really do some community service together and, you know, represent our community and work in our community together. And so I approached my boss at the time. And he was like, sure, you know, go for it. If just, you know, whatever you want to do, that's fine. He supported it fully.
I love you. You brought up earlier, you know, you were the location manager, but I love your self given title of account manager, which I think is hilarious. So you've been, you know, everything, like you said, you started off as a receptionist and now you're a manager of account managers and service staff. So right now, every podcast I do, every conversation I have, the two words hard market come up in every single conversation, and people talking about, you know, the difficulties there as far as managing those service staff and account managers and people quoting and people dealing with renewals. You know, what is, you know, some of the challenges that you're seeing, and how are you managing that? I know it's one thing to work in it, but another to manage that and manage those emotions and manage those feelings. And
You know, it's been really stressful, I'm not going to lie. In my I'm going on 25 years, I've never seen a market like this. Yeah. You know, I lived through the 2008 market, 2009 market, you know, the 2013 market. You know, I went through all of those, but I've never seen one like this. The past year to 2023 was really hard. It was really hard on Arkansas, period. You know, insurance, from my understanding, especially with AccraSure working in different states, like, you know, I talk to people in different states all the time. It's hard for everybody. But from what I'm being told is, you know, Arkansas is the new Oklahoma. That's what we're hearing. You know, before it was always no carrier wanted to be in Oklahoma. Like, it was super sketchy over there. You know, the property markets just aren't there. And I'm hearing that weather and pattern has now moved off of Oklahoma and down into the Arkansas, Tennessee. I think the other day I figured out we had lost about 7 companies last year for personal lines. Some of them were commercial too, but mainly for personal lines. And it's hard.
It's
hard for the staff. You know, we've always trained our independent agents like, we're not just one carrier. We have multiple carriers. But when you start losing multiple carriers, it really takes a toll on people. You know, and some of those companies went out super fast. You know, we had like 30 days with some of them to move some stuff. And that was really hard on people. You know, we put in some long, long hours. We've had clients come in, you know, crying. You know, you just want to cry with them. And sometimes we do, because they can't afford this or that, or they've had too many claims and now nobody wants them. And, you know, it can be really devastating to some people. I personally have some family members that have chosen to go self-insured on their house because they no longer had a mortgage on it. I don't like the idea. I don't condone it. But sometimes when you're on a fixed income, that's what you have to do.
You guys have a carrier that was domiciled in Northeast Arkansas that went out of business altogether quickly. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, as they're dealing with customers calling in complaining, or they're dealing with how to handle the rate increases or how do you manage that?
That's a good question. That's really a good question. Personally, as their self-titled account manager, I try to focus on myself, not selfishly, but I try to make sure that I'm in a good mental headspace, because I know I have a lot of people looking to me for answers. And, you know, if I'm in a bad mood or if I'm a Debbie Downer or, you know, whatever, I know that's going to rub off on everybody else.
Yeah.
So I spend a lot of time, a lot of prayer time.
Yeah.
A lot of prayer. We have to take care of ourselves before we can take care of our employees, our staff, and our customers, you know. So, and it's really hard. My husband probably suffers the most
right now because,
you know, I probably take more out on him than I should, because usually by the time I get home, I'm just kind of done. You know, I don't want to be on the phone. I don't want anybody calling me. I don't want to talk to anybody. And
yeah, you know, I totally understand that.
It's sad, but I really try to take care of myself first, especially before I get to work. I also here at the Batesville branch, I like to do what I call a 10, 2, and 4. At 10 o'clock, I have an alarm. Yeah, 10, 2, and 4. You know, kind of like the old Dr. Pepper saying, I have a Dr. Pepper at 10, 2, and 4. But so I have an alarm set, and I try to get up, and I hope I can say this, but I call it butts up, hands up, butts up. Get out of your seat. No hands on the keyboard or the mouse. We all walk to the lobby where our receptionist area kind of is. And we just all stand up and we just talk for a minute usually about 10 to 15 minutes just to get away from whatever you're doing, clear your mind, stand up, get away from your desk. Let's talk about what's going on personally. Let's talk about what's going on.
Yeah, I love that.
What struggles are you having in your office? You know, what's going on at home? You know, I want to know what your grandkids are doing. What ball are they playing now? You know, I want to know, you know, about your family and they're buying a new house. And, you know, and I want to tell you a little bit like what, you know, Brian and I are doing, you know, we got to just walk away from it. So we try to do that at 10, 2, and 4 every day. Like I said, I lived a life for a long time where I sat at a desk and I may not have moved for 8 to 9 hours. And I always felt like nobody cared. I didn't feel like my bosses cared. I felt like they didn't even notice that I was doing it. And when I became a boss, I thought, you know what? I'm going to try my hardest to be the boss that I wanted to be, that I needed, that I wanted. And so, you know, I want my boss to know that I haven't gotten up, you know, for the past 4 hours and gotten something to drink or been to the restroom or I'm stuck on this phone. I want my boss to realize that that's going on. And I want her to push me to get up and get away from my desk. And just even if it's just for 10 minutes, you know, walk outside, breathe some fresh air for a minute. You know, I have a bird feeder down here at the end of the office that we can see out the door, and we feed the birds and we stand there and watch them sometimes. You know, it's just, you just have to walk away from it every once in a while. You can't live this life 24/7. And I'm the pot calling the kettle black here. And a lot of things that I say to remind myself, but you know, don't take it home with you every night. And, you know, your family deserves your full attention. Yeah. And, you know, that's something that I struggle with and my poor husband.
Well, I think that's something that, you know, I love that you bring up the mental health aspect of it, because I think not enough people do that. And you're right. There's days that I'll come in here in the studio and I'll record. It'll be 8 or 9 hours, like you said, and not even get up once, you know. I mean, but there's days I just do that. I'm like, oh my God, I don't have any windows in here because it's a studio. So I don't know what's going on outside. I don't know what's going on, period.
And it's not healthy. It's not healthy for us. I mean, you hear it all the time. Sitting is the new smoking. Like we're not doing our bodies any, you know, service. I even have a desk that will stand up if I wanted to. And I forget to do that half the time.
But right.
Just get up. And plus just be with your people. We're all struggling. This time is hard for everybody. It's hard for, I've been chewed out and cussed out more in the past year than the past 20 years. People don't understand what's going on. All they know is that, you know, they have fewer companies that are willing to take them, and they're paying sometimes 2 and 3 times the price that they were paying a year or so ago. And that's very disheartening. And most people, if you're not in the insurance industry, you don't understand it. You've never had, you know, just like I said, when I started, I knew you had to have it and that was about it. So it's just taking the time and trying to explain to your customer what's going on, I think goes a long way.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where we're lucky in the independent insurance side is, you know, we don't work for a specific carrier.
Right.
You know, so most of us don't get carrier discounts, employee discounts or whatever, because we work for the agency. So it's affecting all of us the same way it is my customers. And that's what I tell them. I'm going through the same thing you are. my premium went up $800 too. My deductible went up. Yeah, they want to, you know, they want to do this to the roof or exclude that or put an ACV, whatever, you know, on everything. So I'm living this too. I'm in the trenches with you, you know.
So
just make it personal.
Yeah. So a couple of things real quick. From a technical standpoint, you know, when, like you said, you've had, you know, several carriers that's pulled out or got a moratorium or they're not writing. So from a technical standpoint, what do you do when you've got that large book of business, you've got to start moving, or you've got less carriers now to operate with? I mean, obviously being a part of Acrisure, you've got more carriers, but just for the local agent listening, whether they're in Texas, Arkansas, Louisiana, or even over on the West Coast, I mean, like, technically speaking, what do you do there?
You just have to work with what you have. You know, unfortunately, you're just kind of you can feel like you're kind of stuck. But you know, just remember, there's other ways to get carriers. You know, like brokers are good avenues to some carriers. And a lot of the brokers, you know, the Burns and Wilcoxes, the CRCs, the Appalachians, you know, they have access to multiple carriers. So if your standard carriers aren't willing to write, don't forget that there's some other avenues out there that you can take and still get some replacement cost policies out there. And then there's always those ACV options, which we don't always like as well. But, you know, you've got options. There are some options. Sometimes you just have to learn how to get creative and talk to your underwriters. The underwriters are going through this just like we are. And, you know, they're kind of like that parent that you feel like, you know, you're always saying no and you hate that. So you hate to get girls like, oh, they're just going to say no. Well, you don't know that, you know, just it's always worth a shot.
No, that's a good solid point. Cause people don't think about that. They just want to bang on the carriers and say, oh, it's their fault, but they're going through this too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. The underwriters live in this every day. The marketing reps, I had a marketing rep tell me the other day, that a year ago they would receive 7,000 submissions every 3 months. I want to say, and don't quote me on this because I may be wrong. But anyway, the point was that right now they're receiving 7,000 a week.
Oh my gosh.
And they don't have enough manpower to keep this up. And, you know, so my advice on those is just to make sure you're doing your job. Make sure you've got the right effective dates when you're submitting stuff. Because I know with this carrier, they were like 5 days behind. Now they're 3. So if you're quoting something today and you put an effective date of tomorrow on it, they're already 3 days before they're even going to touch it. So when they get to it, they already think, oh, I'm not going to quote this because they needed it yesterday or whatever. And they've probably already bound it somewhere else. So it's not worth my time. So just like do your due diligence and really look at the account and make sure you're putting everything in correctly. Use the right effective dates, you know, use all the correct information as much as you can. Cause that's going to get and give it a full submission. That's what's going to get the underwriter to really look at it and move on with it. Cause right now everybody's rates are going up. It's not just the independent side.
Yeah.
So, I mean, everybody. So everybody's shopping everything. So I know how many submissions we get a week. I can't imagine these poor companies that are after getting hit by every agency across the state. I mean,
well, and you brought up a good point with full submissions and complete submissions. Cause a lot of times I can remember when I was, you know, in that role and working through that, you'd be in such a hurry to get things done. It might leave off something. And then I got underwriters sending it back. And now they're so busy. They're probably not. They'll look at it. If it's not complete, they'll just shoot it right back without even looking at it.
Exactly.
And then you got to go back in the pile again at the bottom of the pile and wait to get back up there again. And so,
yeah,
I think it's good advice. Take your time to stop for a minute.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, it reminds me like people that are in the CSR account manager role. You know how when your producer brings you that information written on a napkin, you know, we all know that story. You know,
right, yeah.
Like, you know how you feel when you get that napkin.
Yes. I did it all the time in Port Sydney. I remember.
Like, that's how the underwriter feels about you when you don't send an incomplete submission. I mean, honestly. So, like, you know, that do unto others as you would like to be done to you kind of thing. You know, like, if you don't want your producers bringing you crap on a napkin, don't send in half of an accord app filled out to an underwriter. It's the same thing. Like we don't want to think about it that way, but it really is. Like I'm with the underwriters on this one. Like you need to have your stuff together before you send it to them.
That's a really good point. Poor Sydney. I did that to her all the time. You know,
Sydney's a trooper though. She can take it.
Oh, she was amazing. But Anyhow, so yeah, I think you're right. I think you bring up a great point on that because, you know, sometimes with CSRs and account managers, another part of that stress is dealing with producers right now. And again, not to hate on producers because we both of us have been producers and you still are.
Yeah.
But at the same time, sometimes you have to push back on those producers and say, hey, I need more information here. What's going on here? I think that's where you have to have your team kind of as a good team.
Well, we use what we call quote sheets.
Yeah,
we have quote sheets that we just kind of made up. And our producers are supposed to take those quote sheets and every blank is supposed to be filled in. It's on there for a reason.
Yeah.
So, you know, that would be something. If your agency is not doing that, I highly suggest that you do it. And tell the producers, don't even bring this to me unless every single line is filled out. Now, does it work? No, they don't listen, but it helps.
So, you know, you're focusing now more on commercial as you've, you know, kind of got through your career a little bit from personal lines to commercial and whatnot. So in the commercial line space right now, Acrisure as a whole, are they gravitating towards niche driven business or just still generalists?
We are trying to take niche markets. So we have our Texas area is really big in construction. So we have a whole construction area. We have the transportation department, which, like I said, Philip Greer and Darla Carter and several of our people in our Paragould office are a part of that team. And so they are focusing on transportation all across the United States. Then we have an oil and gas section. We have an agri-farm section that is also headquartered out of our Paragould office for the South, with Devin Snell over there is kind of leading up that team. So, and then we're going to have what we call general business, and there'll be general business large, and there'll be a general business middle market. And I kind of reign in that general business middle market area.
Yeah. And so, you know, as it maybe making it a little easier, you know, during the hard market, because they do have such a niche focus there, or is it harder because if a carrier does pull out, then they're struggling there? Or
if you have a niche market and you've had it for a while, you usually have access to those carriers and you have those relationships already built. Whereas someone just going back to construction, if you don't write a lot of construction accounts and you don't know who the underwriters are and the team players are, the companies, then it's going to be a lot harder for you to write that account.
Yep.
But then again, what you were saying, when these companies are pulling out, you know, you're losing those markets as well. You're losing those connections. But hopefully if you have a big enough book and a big enough niche, then you have other markets to replace it. And, you know, that's the great thing about Acrisure is, you know, we're basically, like I said, we're worldwide. So if I don't have a market here in Arkansas, I can pick up the phone and call agency partners in New Jersey or Florida or California or Colorado or even London. We have a Lloyd's market in London that's direct to Acrisure. Can we write 100% of everything? No, not always. But for the most part, we're going to have somebody that can help do it.
So what's that like working, going from the local and now you're with Acrisure? What's that transition been like?
It's been kind of crazy, honestly.
Yeah.
Because I'm just used to, you know, little bitty Batesville, Arkansas. It's been a great experience. So just to tell you a little story. So for those of you who don't know a lot about Acrisure, we sponsor the Pittsburgh Steelers Stadium. So that's where a lot of people are seeing our brand first. And then we also own an arena in Palm Springs, California. It's a hockey arena, and then they do, you know, concerts and stuff. So anyway, about a month ago, I was able to go to a conference, an Acrisure conference in Palm Springs. And it was for a lot of the management across the world. I mean, we had people from 22 different countries there, which was pretty awesome. It was my first, Heath knows, you know, I'm not a big flyer. I've never really left Batesville a whole lot, you know, except to come down to Little Rock for meetings and stuff and just go wherever conventions are at. But so I had to fly all by myself to California and I almost missed my flight in Dallas. I had a 3-hour layover and almost missed my flight. I had no clue what I was doing. Anyway, so we made it to California and we had a great, great conference. And for those of you who don't know, and I'm totally not name dropping, but I am. So Lionel Richie is our brand ambassador. Yes. And so I have been in love with Lionel Richie my whole life. I've always loved his music. I'm a big music buff. I know Jen that works here at my office, she thinks I'm hilarious because I know like every song lyric to every song ever written since 1970. But anyway, so we get to California and I'm like, oh, I hope he comes. Oh, I hope he comes, you know. And luckily he did. He showed up. He made an appearance. He was with us for about an hour. No, he didn't sing. So when we were in California, they don't get much rain at all. Well, the three or four days that I was there, they got more than their annual total of rainfall that week. So
of course,
everything was flooding, like it was crazy.
Yeah.
And so Lionel's plane got delayed because of the floods. And then he had to fly out to Hawaii because they were actually filming American Idol at the time. So he had to leave early to get, you know, to filming for that. But anyway, but he told the most amazing stories. And for anybody that watches him on American Idol, he is just a real genuine person. And he was that same way in real life. I mean, the stories that he was telling us, you could just tell how much love and passion he had for the music industry and Michael Jackson and Kenny Rogers. And, you know, I'd heard a lot of the stories before, like he and Kenny, he told us himself that he really wanted to be a country music star when he got started.
Yeah.
And he was like, but I want to do country. And they're like, no, you know, so. But he actually lived with Kenny Rogers for a while, and he and Kenny wrote a bunch of songs together.
That's
and they're
cool.
They're great country songs. Kenny would sing them and then Lionel would go do his R&B thing, you know, with he was just such a cool, genuine guy. I mean, just so down to earth.
It's funny to hear you just call him Lionel, like our best friends. Like,
Lionel and I go way back. Yeah. If he ever hears this, he's gonna be like, hey, this is crazy person. Like, I don't even know who she is. She was one of, you know, 5,000 people out in this audience. But
that's so funny though to hear. Yeah. But that's a great name to drop.
Lionel and I are besties now.
Right. You got the bracelets and everything.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. No, I think that was really cool. I saw you post that on LinkedIn and I was like, oh my gosh, she actually got out of Batesville and she got to meet like someone that she's like loved her whole life. Lionel Richie.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it was so cool. It was so cool. It was a great experience.
So you hang out with him all night long?
Bucket list check mark. Yeah, all night long. I'm sorry. Just wait until you see. You need to Google the Acrisure commercials with him in it. They are awesome.
Yes, I do. In the audience.
Yeah, there's
too.
three or four or five commercials that he's done for us. So they're great. Of course, Acrisure is very, very big on community service. You'll see that we do a lot of community service and we just do different things in our communities. But Rotary for me was more to be with my father at first. And then after coming and sitting and being in the meetings to actually being a Rotarian, I was just really amazed at how much what all Rotary does. Now it's kind of like Acrisure. It's a worldwide, you know, service organization. It's one of the only worldwide service organization. One of the groups that I really like that we have ties to is called Shelter Box. So just a quick shout out for Shelter Box. If you don't know anything about Shelter Box, Google it. They are also a global organization, but they are wherever war is. And they are wherever national disasters are. So they have been in the Ukraine for the past couple of years. They're at the border. You know, they are wherever the tsunamis have taken place and these horrible earthquakes are. And so basically what they are is what their name says. It's a shelter box. They come and they bring these boxes to people that have like a tarp in it. And it may be a tent. It may have a pot for you to boil water. Because most of these people are completely devastated. They have absolutely nothing. There's different size boxes depending on the level of disaster and the level of need. And it's a great organization. Like I said, Google it, Shelter Box, great organization. But I mean, Rotary, I'm very passionate about Rotary. Rotary's done a lot. In South America, they don't have high schools like we do in America. The high schools are in the big cities like the colleges are here. So like if you're in a smaller town, you, after the eighth grade, you may not be able to get an education. You have to travel to a big city and not everybody can do that. So Rotary stepped in into 11 different areas and we helped put in a school at these different areas, a trade school. And at these trade schools, you would either be able to taught how to weld, how to sew, or how to bake. That way you could have some sort of a purpose, some sort of a job. And so we put these in and that helped tremendously. Well, then we got word several years later that unfortunately the infrastructure down there wasn't able to uphold this. So like if they were welding one day, they can't bake and sew the same day. If they're baking, they can't, you know, weld or sew.
Oh, wow.
So we, again, partnered with several local Rotary clubs in the U.S. and then the clubs down in South America. And we were able to, each one of us, buy a transformer to upgrade at that school. So we bought 11 transformers and we went in and put those in so that they could do more than one of those a day. So it's things like that that just makes me proud. I mean, like I said, no, I didn't travel to those areas and actually do the work. But, you know, I've helped do fundraising and I've helped put my own dollars towards these things that are helping people all over the world. So it's a great feeling and I just love it.
So it's really cool that working at Acrisure and having that community mindset yourself and those kind of marry together. And so is that something that you encourage the rest of your staff or your team or anything like that to be involved in? Or is that something?
Obviously, we know we have fundraisers and different meetings and activities and things throughout the year to which my staff is able to participate and help with. So that's a great thing. And it's in the chamber too. You know, I've been a chamber ambassador for the past 5 years here locally. It's also something I'm very passionate about. My grandmother actually worked for the chamber here back in the 80s. And, you know, unfortunately, she passed away about seven years ago, and which was before I became an ambassador. And I just really wish that she would be here to see me, you know, carry on kind of the legacy. But I'm what we call a red coat. We wear our red coats and we welcome new members to the area and do ribbon cuttings and different things. And it's very exciting. I enjoy that. I
used to love that. I was a chamber ambassador in Little Rock for a couple of years in my agency days. And I loved going to the ribbon cuttings and getting involved in that and seeing that. Plus, as a commercial producer, it really helped me a lot.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
To be in front of every one of those people and they would see me at the chamber events and, you know, I could be able to tell them I was a, you know, commercial producer, insurance agent. So it really helped a lot. So, and then you're also, while we're talking about all your wonderful community service, you're involved in the PIA as well, which is obviously a big heart of mine because of my wife working there.
Right. We love our Stacy.
That's right. And, you know, those that listen to the show every week, they probably get tired of me talking about Stacy. I find a way every episode to bring her name up. So, you know, I'm sure people get tired of hearing it. But so you got involved in PIA probably, I don't know, 8 or 10 years ago, maybe longer, maybe shorter. I don't remember. But I've known you involved there for quite a while now. And now you're incoming president, or you are president now. I can't remember.
No, I mean, so I will take over, I guess, presidency seat next month at convention.
Yeah.
So I'm still president-elect.
Gotcha. So you're president, but here in a month.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. No, less than a month. No, right less at a month. Month. Sorry.
Right at a month.
A We're month from now, you will take over as president, and that's going to be a historical day. Tell me a little bit about that.
So I'm really excited. Just a little backstory. Yeah, I've been with PIA, I think, I don't know, since 2004, maybe.
Okay.
Not four, 14, probably since 2014. So yeah, right at 10 years.
Yeah.
Stacy, you know, came and met me and got me involved with the YIP board. And I was on that board since 2014 till last year. I was president of the YIP board for about 3 years. So the exciting thing about PIA this year, for me as a woman in the insurance industry and in Arkansas, is that I will be, I'm not going to be the first woman president, obviously, but I will be president of the executive board for the PIA. And then we have Stacy, your lovely wife, who is our executive officer for PIA, and Sarah, who works with Stacy. And then we have Mary Catherine Henderson, who is the YIP board president. So that's four women all in charge of the PIA.
Maybe we'll actually get some stuff right this year. Maybe
we're going to be on it. Things are going to get done. No, Holden has done a great job.
He really has. But
I'm super excited that, you know, like I'm all about some girl power. So
yeah,
I'm pretty psyched about it. Yeah.
That's really, really cool. So that's really neat. So in Fayetteville, you know, next month, that'll be a big moment. I think that's pretty cool. So Tell me if you could give, you know, a little bit of advice to the audience listening, right? Some Amanda Dickey words of wisdom.
Oh, my. If you're a human being right now.
Yeah, if you're a human being.
No, seriously, like we have got to learn to take care of ourselves first. Because I think, you know, I think women, and I'm not just picking on women, but I think we're probably the worst at that just because we feel like, and I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's something in our genetics, in our brain or what, but we feel like we have to be everything for everybody all the time. Like we're all the stuff, we're all the things. And it's really hard for us to just slow down and realize, you know, like, hey, we've got to take care of ourselves. And, you know, take care of your husband and take care of your spouse. It doesn't matter if you're a woman or a man, take care of your spouse. You know, they're your person. They should be your best friend. They should be your everything. And I've talked to some people lately that were going through some marital problems, and it's not, you know, that I have all the answers or I've been married almost 25 years, but you know what? I think that we forget, and you can take this into your professional life as well. It's like women and men, we don't need each other. If you think about it, I'm pretty self-sufficient. I don't need Brian. Stacy doesn't need you, Heath. I hate to tell you that. She doesn't need you. But you know what? she wants you in her life. I want Brian in my life every single day. It should be the same with your employees. You know, yes, you need employees. We do need employees. But, you know, you have the ones that are good and the ones that you want to keep, you want them in your life.
So treat them right.
Treat them right. You know, we've got mentally, physically, and you can't take care of your employees or your home life, your children, your spouses, your parents, you know, and it's you've got to take care of yourself before you can take care of anybody else. And good. We really need to focus on that as a people. Like I said, whether it's your home life or your professional life, that until you do that and that you love yourself and that you accept yourself for all the things, whether they're good and bad and ugly, you have to accept them and you have to love yourself for who you are. And the things that you don't like, work on them. Everything's workable. Everything's workable. But just, you know, and my grandmother used to tell me, make sure you have girlfriends. Girls need girlfriends. And that didn't make sense to me for a long time. I thought, what does she mean? And I understand now what she meant. Like you need people to talk to. You need people to talk to. You need people to pump you up and tell you that you are enough, that you are great. And
you're
not be 100%
jealous. Right.
Yeah. Not to be jealous and not to think that you're bragging, but your friends should support you. You know?
Yeah, it's funny because you're exactly right. You know, I tease Stacy a lot. Again, I'm bringing her name up again, but she.
Because we love her.
Right? I tease her because she has the church ladies, the Bible ladies, as she calls them. And I always call them the Golden Girls. But, you know, there's this group of girls. There's, you know, six or eight of them. And Brandy's being one of them now. And our good friend Brandy Anderson, former guest of the show as well. But
I know,
they get
I'm
together. Right? That's hilarious. They get together all the time. They had Bible study, obviously, but then they get together outside of the time. They're a great little community source for each other. And like, if somebody has an issue, like you said, somebody passes or somebody's in the hospital, they take care of each other. You know, they get a little meal train together, or they'll just be there to say hi, or it's everything from, you know, having a margarita with them or praying for them. Like sometimes you just need that, you know,
exactly.
Everything in between. And again,
all the stuff.
Yeah, all the things, all the stuff. And sometimes I get jealous of that because dudes just don't do that for each other. We should do better at that. But
you know, and I'm just going to say this because you're my brother, my bubba, and I can. We do not think like you. We don't understand everything that you say. You do not have a clue what we're talking about half the time. It's just the truth.
Yeah.
Like men and women brains are two totally, completely different things.
Mm-hmm.
And women need other women, and I'm sure men probably need to be around other men and have that group as well.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, you know, get you a support group like that. That's great. Good for her.
And that's a good place, because if we keep going, you and I'll just talk for 3 hours and you'll be late on your road trip and I'll be late on mine. So thank you so much for finally saying yes and coming on here. I've been asking you for a while. No, very thank honored. You so much for being a part of it. Tell Lionel hi for me, and we'll
I
talk
will soon. Next time I see you. Probably never, but
have a good day, sis.
You too. Thanks.